Jesus is the best psychotherapist in the universe because he's the healer of memories. He's the healer of memories. Our scripture reading, it sets the stage for his therapeutic session that he had with Peter in the following verses after it. And I'll quote from these as time goes, as we go through the message. But Peter already had the Holy Spirit. Peter had the Holy Spirit. Jesus had, well, this is in John chapter 20, just the chapter before this. It says, Jesus said, "Peace be with you, as the Father sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, you'd think, well, wouldn't that meet the emotional, any lingering emotional needs that Peter had? No more than new birth solves all of our problems. Since we have been born again and we accepted Jesus into our hearts, how many have had some problems? Oh, only a few of you, huh? I've been one. Spiritual growth is a process. Now, there are spurts of growth. And one form of those spurts of growth is the divine therapy of inner healing or healing of memories. It's one of my favorite subjects. This is an amazing thing that God does in our growth process. Well, Peter's triple denial of Christ is probably, I think it's probably why he said, "I'm going back to fish. I'm going fishing." And they all followed him. And he'd already received the Spirit. But even after having the Spirit, like we would say, like the new birth, because later he was really filled with the Holy Spirit, a different kind of filling, maybe he felt guilty, not fit, not qualified to be serving the resurrected Savior in this gospel work that he had been called to. But Jesus turns remembered failures into restored faithfulness. He returns remembered failures into restored faithfulness and fruitfulness. And especially the fruitfulness part. And he does that by healing memories. So to heal memories, Jesus first helps us to recall them. We have to, if our memories are going to be healed, he's not just going to go bang and I don't remember what I was about. Oh, it's gone though, but I don't know what it was, what I got healed from. No, he really wants you to know the memory and then he will heal the memory. Verse 5 and 6, he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Is that a familiar story? Well, it's the identical miracle with fish that was the context of their beginning discipleship. They were called. In fact, Matthew 4, it says, "Come, follow me," Jesus said. This was after they caught all those fish and they just, wow. And Peter said, "I'm an unworthy." Yeah, he felt unworthy. There was this thing about unworthiness in his background. He said, "I feel unworthy." He said, "I will leave your nets. I will make you fishers of men." So he did follow Jesus. "Come, follow me." That was the initial call. And then in verse 9, after Peter had been reminded by this fish catch of the original call that God had put on his life, his original decision to follow Jesus. In verse 9, when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Now, I'm thinking, did this remind Peter of something? Loaves and fishes? Yeah. On the day when Jesus had multiplied the loaves and fishes, Peter had been one of the apostles that had been passing out these multiplied loaves and fishes to the 5,000. Here again, they had caught the fish, but Jesus is already providing and miraculously. And so we look at Peter's mind and say, did this remind Peter of his participation in Jesus' ministry to people? Maybe it did. But a fire of burning coals. Literally, it's a charcoal fire. And that word is only used two times in the whole New Testament. Right here. And that is why it held painful memories for Peter. That's the same word used in John 18:18. And it says in the English Standard Version, "Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves." Peter also was with them standing and warming himself, and right after that, three times he denied the Lord. Now, did Jesus purposefully do this? Did he mean for Peter to recall that terrible night of denying him? Yes. Yes, I really believe he did. If so, why did he do that? Well, David Siemens, I've read four books by David Siemens all about inner healing. And here's what David Siemens tells about the healing of memories of Peter, using him as an example. "Surely the memory of those courtyard coals had been burning like fire in the conscience and memory of Peter. Here, the master psychiatrist led Peter to face his most traumatic memory, and he used a charcoal fire to cauterize and heal Peter's pain and shame. With the sting removed, Peter would be able to use that burning memory not as a curse, which crippled, but as a spark to ignite him to an even deeper devotion." Our subconscious mind can actually fool us. It can deceive us in a way sometimes. And that's what it says. You know, in Jeremiah 17:9, the subconscious, our inner heart, where memories are stored, can repress those memories so that we forget the painful memories that actually need healing. They need to be remembered so that they can be healed. And in Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick." We've heard desperately wicked, but the actual word means it's ill unto death. It's so sick that it could die. So it's that sick. It's desperately sick. And who can understand it? Well, God can, because He searches the heart not only to understand it, but He wants to heal it. He wants to heal our hearts of painful memories, things that are sick sometimes and we need to have them healed. Jesus wanted to turn Peter's remembered failure into restored fruitfulness, restored faithfulness. And to restore our fruitfulness, God has to sometimes recall to us our calling. Recall your calling. Go back to the original call. And so in verse 17, after he's done this two times, the third time he said to him, to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Jesus asked Peter the same question three times. And surely it did. Peter was hurt by that. Why? Because it was the same number of times that he had denied the Lord. That was probably in his recollection. That was probably in his remembrance as Jesus did this. Well, if Jesus helps us recall painful memories in order to heal them, then the recollection itself will be painful. It will hurt. I have read this book maybe three times. I'm probably the fourth time. I've read it one time, had it listened to it on tape, "The Road Less Traveled" by Scott Peck. I don't know. Have you ever read that book? Oh my goodness, I'm reading through it again, and this is what it says: the process of confronting and solving problems is a painful one. Problems, depending on their nature, evoke in us frustration or grief or sadness, or loneliness, or guilt, or regret, or anger, or fear, or anxiety, or anguish, or despair. I think he's listed them all. These are uncomfortable feelings, sometimes equaling the very worst kind of physical pain. Now, I agree with him, because the torment of these feelings, especially when they can't be resolved, it's just torture. Well, Peter's painful memory needed to be upfront in his awareness, so it's going to hurt, so that Jesus could heal it. And that's why it's so needful for us to pray the prayer that's in Psalm 139. And I'm quoting it in a more literal translation here. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. To call Peter back to fruitful service and faithful service in the everlasting way was the ultimate goal that Jesus had. Not just to remind him, and sometimes we do that. We remind people of their faults. And do we help them get healed? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we just want them to hurt, because we were hurt, so now we want them to hurt. You know? And that's not Jesus. Jesus' goal was this painful, therapeutic interrogation was for healing. It was for healing. Jesus had told him this, follow me. In other words, be a fisher of men. But after I catch them, what am I going to do? Well, follow me, be a fisher of men. Jesus said, as the Father sent me. He heard this in chapter 20. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And Peter knew what Jesus meant by that. As the Good Shepherd, Jesus had gathered the sheep, he'd led them, he'd fed them, and he laid down his life for them. Well, Jesus confronted Peter, he confronted those three denials with three renewals of his original call that he had given him to follow and feed. He said, feed my sheep. Catch these men. You're going to catch men now. What are you going to do with them? You're going to feed them. You're going to lay your life down for them. And indeed, the call, feed my sheep, would lead Peter to be crucified upside down in Rome at some point for being an obedient shepherd, for obeying and following Jesus. So when Jesus spelled this out about his death, indicating the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God, what does Peter do? Well, what about John there? And he points over at John. What about him? And this showed one more area where his memory needed healing. And that was healing of his original devotion to Christ, as expressed in John 13:37. I will lay down my life for you. I will lay down my life for you. That was the kind of spirit that Peter really had deep in his heart. But he denied the Lord. He needed to get back to that place. And in verse 22, Jesus answered, if I want John, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? You must follow me. You must follow me. When we compare ourselves and our unique gifts or our unique callings or who we are in our lives and stuff with others who are just as unique and have just as unique callings and gifts and everything, Jesus tells us exactly the same thing. What is that to you? What is that to you, what they have? You follow me. You follow me. Chuck Swindoll said this, failures are only temporary tests to prepare us for permanent triumphs. I like that. Well, that proved true for Peter, but not without pain. His life was a triumph, but not without pain. Failures can make us feel worthless, depressed, paralyzed sometimes. I'm not going to go out and do the ministry anymore. I'm going to go back to my old job, fishing. Whether these failures are fresh in our mind or whether they're subconsciously buried so we don't have to think about them, Jesus, when He puts His spotlight on them, it hurts. It does hurt. It's painful. And yet Jesus helps us to recall them only so that He can heal them. And we've got to see that in the Lord's motive so that we won't run from those memories, but we'll go to Jesus, go to the light. It's brighter and brighter and brighter, and we see the whole thing. And then, give it to me. Give it to me so I can heal it. Have you failed the Lord? I have, many times. And my memory of those failures, each of them hurt. They're painful. But to keep on serving Jesus, what have I had to do? I needed His therapy. I needed His therapy of turning my remembered failures into restored faithfulness. And if others have failed me, then those memories are... Jesus wants to heal those memories too. When others... That hurts when others fail us. And He heals them through forgiveness. Forgiveness. So if you need healing, if you need a healing of a memory of a past failure, or of when others failed you and it miserably failed you and it really hurt deep, it like stuck a knife in your heart, then I highly recommend a healing therapeutic session with Jesus. He's the best psychotherapist in the universe, and the only fee that He charges is our obedience to His call. Follow me. Let's pray. Lord God, I am thankful that You helped me. I got to see so many more things than I started out with when I started studying this passage. How so many of these things reminded Peter, reminded him, recalled to his mind his calling, his unfaithfulness, Lord, but also his calling, what he was supposed to be about, the gospel ministry that You'd called him into. Well, I pray, Father God, for all of us to realize that, yes, we said yes to Jesus, and sometimes we failed You, Lord Jesus. So if there's memories, I pray that they would come to the surface in our lives, that we can lay them before You, before Your light, before Your crystal clear light, so that You can heal them. You are the healer of memories, the best psychotherapist in the universe, and we praise You for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.